Welcome back to the Conversationalist Podcast. A very special episode today as we are joined by the illustrious, the one and only, the man with a plan and a pimple on his face, the Philip Payne. How you doing today, man?
I'm doing great, James. Thank you very much. Thank you.
It's been a long time.
It has.
You sent in emails.
I've sent emails. I sure have.
Yeah, you've sent in emails, and you've been a long-time listener, one would say.
I have, yeah. I've enjoyed your podcast.
Favorite episode? Throw it out. Let's hear it.
Honestly, the first one. I really enjoyed the first one.
It's been downhill since.
Hot wings. Hot wings was good. The hot ones, that was good. Also, you did an episode where you looked at movies from 2019, I think.
Yeah, I think it was going into 2020. Little did we know.
Yeah.
There would be no movies in 2020.
Yeah, wow. That's true, actually. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've enjoyed all of them, you know. I started listening to them. I was away from family and friends, and it just really, you know, brought me back to that, so.
Gotcha. Now, unfortunately, we were going to do a podcast tonight with Brandon. However, that is getting moved to tomorrow. So tonight, it's just Philip and I. I'm glad you were able to introduce yourself a little bit to the podcast world out there. All 4,000 listeners. Big audience. So tell us a little bit about yourself before we get into today's discussion. And just to start out with this, we're going to bring it actually back to movies here in a little bit.
All right,
so
cool.
Nice little intro in there, nice little plug. And if you all have any questions that you would like to send into the show, we do answer them. We've gotten a few from Robert Jackson, Greg, Phil, a few other listeners. If I didn't mention your name, I apologize. But again, it's conversationalistpodcasts@gmail.com, conversationalistpodcasts@gmail.com. All right, go ahead.
All right, so where to begin? You know, there's just so much.
So we're brothers.
We are brothers, yeah. One would say I got the looks, the wits, and the brain.
A lot of people would say a lot of stupid things, but yeah, sure.
No, yeah, I'm James's little brother. I'm about 5 years younger than James.
Yep.
Although he looks up to me, both physically and
I am shorter than you. What are you doing with your life currently right now, and then go back and tell us.
Okay, so right now I am between jobs. I just finished a Discount Tire because next week I will be enlisting in the Air Force. I'll be going to BMT. My MOS right now, which is the job that I've been assigned, is air traffic control. Super excited. Today I got to tour an air traffic control
tower.
Nice. Yep, at an Air Force base. Cool. That was super cool.
Over at Lackland, right?
Yeah.
Very cool. Gateway to the Air Force.
There we go. Yeah, so that's what's going on with my life right now.
You were born in?
I was born in Maple Hill, Kansas.
Maple Hill?
I was a home birth, yeah. Yes, I was.
What was going on there with mom and dad at that time?
You know,
all the other siblings. So we're two of six. We have six siblings. Five of us were born in hospitals like normal people, and then Philip was born at home. What happened?
You know, the circumstances just they arose.
Was it an accident?
It was classic tornado weather. It was not planned that way. Mm-hmm. Classic tornado weather in Kansas. Dr. Carroll, the local doctor, he said, "Listen, guys, you just stay there."
Remembering his name.
He said, you guys stay at home. I'll come over. And, he came over, he brought his stuff, brought a 6-pack of beer to celebrate the birth of what he didn't know at the time would be a child prodigy. but let's not focus on the birth so much. Let's focus on my accomplishments.
Okay. Let's talk about your accomplishments. What have you accomplished thus
far?
So
at a very young age, I left home.
Mm-hmm.
I think I was 13.
Okay.
It's a young age for most to leave home.
You were 13 when you left home for what?
For school, which is abnormal because I went to a boarding school in New York.
Same boarding school I went to?
Yes.
Yep.
So I went there. I crushed it, you know.
So wait, what grade were you in when you entered?
I was in seventh grade.
And you graduated from there?
I did, yeah.
So that's like, what, 6 years there?
Yeah, 6 years. Graduated summa cum laude. And from then on, I've tried out a few different things. I was in a Catholic seminary for about a year and a half. Wasn't my vocation. I enjoyed it immensely. Made a lot of friends there.
What happened there? Why wasn't it your vocation?
You know, it's just...
Were you not touchy enough, or how does that go?
So here we go. No, like it's really more... as a Catholic priest, you live the life of a celibate. You can never get married.
That's the idea.
Right. So... yeah, I went and I, life wasn't for me. It wasn't for me. So I moved on.
Mm-hmm.
After the seminary, I was in architectural design. I was in architectural design, building churches.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, working with fine,
like building like churches or building.
I was working inside the church, working on like artistic pieces, altars, stained glass. Like altars.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then I decided to move to Texas and join the Air Force. So that's what I'm doing now.
Man, one could say that, you know, you followed in the footsteps of a great man, boarding school, seminary, and now the Air Force. Who that man may be, we'll gloss over that.
Right.
So you're going into the Air Force. I've been through the Air Force.
Yeah. The reserves, yeah.
Yeah, I went active duty, reserves, yep. Mm-hmm. Did the whole nine yards.
Yep, for how long, 6 months?
3 years. 3 years.
So. Oh, okay. I didn't.
And now I'm transitioning into the officer role.
Cool.
So do you have any questions? Do you have any interests or anything that you're speculating, whether it's about basic training, the military in general? Any what's your experience been thus far?
So number one, I think all the questions I've had have been answered primarily by YouTube or my uncle, who happens to be a full colonel in the Air Force.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sorry I can't go to you for that older brotherly advice. You've given me some.
Yeah, because, you know, Uncle Jim was enlisted. That makes sense.
Yeah, he was, yeah, whatever. the fact of the matter is that, you know, my dad served. He's got a lot of just wisdom. He drops some good wisdom on me sometimes.
Yeah.
About the Air Force. Bit outdated, but...
Bit outdated.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember Dad's pearls of wisdom, and then I got to the Air Force, and I was like, oh my God, this is nothing like you said it was.
Yeah.
341s are still a thing. That is a thing that has persisted since the 60s.
Probably the only thing.
Yeah. That and...
What was your question, though? Like, so, do I have any questions for you?
What has your experience been? Do you have anything that is specifically interesting to you and that you're looking forward to with your... Because you're leaving in a week or so.
Yeah.
For basic training.
My experience has been pretty good, actually. Yeah. I thought during COVID it would be a difficult journey trying to get in the Air Force just because retention in the Air Force has been high.
Mm-hmm.
Due to uncertainty in the times.
Yeah.
And... I experienced a fairly quick process.
Yeah, you did. You
what really I thought did. What I thought was going to be 8 months to a year before getting in, it was about 3 months.
Yeah,
and luckily I had a good score on my ASVAB, so that got me a good job. And my recruiter is awesome. He's been pretty helpful.
Now, you know. The reason I bring up the Air Force, and the reason Brandon and I typically bring up the Air Force, by the way, all views that we disclose on this podcast are not views that represent the Air Force. But a lot of Air Force people listen to this podcast. So we have a few people from our old unit and from my old basic training days that listen to this. So,
Cool.
Yeah. If they choose to email in with any specific advice, I'll definitely let you know.
I'm open to any advice.
What are you looking forward to?
I'm looking, honestly...
Specifically
Air Force. Mm-hmm. You know, I've always been, since, you know, from a very young age, I've been inspired by military members, you know, the mm-hmm. military community. Just people in uniform serving our country.
Yeah.
That's always been a huge thing. I think our dad really instilled that in us, to always respect that and to look up to that. So that's always been in the back of my mind, that kind of a desire to do something greater.
Yeah.
You know, serve a greater cause. You know, what greater cause than America?
America. So,
serve America.
We'll talk about America later.
Yeah. Yeah, serve America. You know, serve my country. And secondly, the Air Force, I think, of all the branches that I've, like, that I've done research on, has the most jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, very, very good pay.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot to, you can learn a lot that can translate into civilian life.
That but translation also, is huge, yeah.
Yeah, but also, like, it's more technical. Yeah, there's a lot of opportunities with the Air Force as opposed to the other branches. Not to say that the other branches are in any way
less yeah. than anything. Yeah.
Yeah. No.
No, it is true. And one of the, you know, there's the good humor between all the branches, you know. There's the jokes that are made about mm-hmm. all the branches and such between branches.
Right.
And it's kind of one of those situations like, we can make fun of everybody, you know, we can make fun of each other, but if an outsider makes fun of one, it's like, hey, we'll back off. Unless you're Coast Guard. No one gives a shit about the Coast Guard, but,
nice.
No. So the Air Force, yeah, it is true. Like none of the branches are less or more than the other. They all have different functions, and the function of the Air Force just happens to translate better into the civilian side.
Right,
which so is more helpful for individuals who get out.
Yeah. So, yeah. So that's definitely also a reason. You know, seeing the world
mm-hmm.
is another big one.
Yeah.
I do have that wanderlust. That,
yeah. Yeah.
That old inkling that's been handed down through the centuries.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think that the Air Force is overall top notch.
Yeah.
Yeah. For sure. Plus the family members. You know, we got so much Air Force history. Our grandfather, our yeah. uncle, our dad,
you. our great-grandfather, actually
great-grandfather,
Army Air Service. Yeah, it, well, you know what, and this is coming just from me, not from the viewers, but I'm proud of you, and I'm excited to see where you go with this. So born in Maple Hill, home birth
yeah.
in the eye of a tornado.
You could
call yourself a tornado baby. Sure. So you're joining the Air Force. What are your, so obviously on this podcast, we talk about, it's called The Conversationalist. We kind of are whimsical in our approach to it. Mm-hmm. Little notes are taken unless we're really trying to hammer home a specific topic. So for instance, when George Floyd died,
yeah.
when he was killed by, Derek Chauvin, we did a lot of research just on specific aspects of that case, and then also some of the dialogue surrounding it.
Okay,
right.
That's interesting because I wouldn't have pinned that. I wouldn't have guessed that.
it's actually that's a actual compliment because we don't want to come off as drones.
Okay.
We've done a lot
cool,
of research.
Cool,
so
okay.
if it seemed like just a conversation flowing, that's the point. It's the conversationalist.
Good
but,
to hear.
But in this specific, you know, in most of the conversations, it's kind of off the cuff.
Yeah.
Right. One of the things that I wanted to get your perspective on, and I think a lot of people out there would appreciate someone's perspective on, is what are your thoughts specifically pertaining to, there's been a lot of conversation, right, about the military recently, in terms of the quote unquote wokeness of the military and how that might be good or pervasive to the military as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously you're not in the military yet, but you're joining. So you're coming from it from sort of an outside perspective. I don't know if you've read up on any of that.
I've definitely heard about it. Yeah.
You've definitely heard about it. What yeah. are your thoughts on, like, again, coming from someone who is not in the military yet, who is planning on joining and is leaving in a week, what are your expectations for that? Excuse me. And what are your general thoughts?
Yeah. So, I would say that you have, in our country right now, it's very, very partisan. You have different yeah. ideas floating around
mm-hmm.
that contradict each other.
Yeah.
And I think that when that's brought into something like the military, which by its nature should be bipartisan.
Yeah.
Like, if it isn't, that's a huge problem, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that when that enters something like the military,
mm-hmm.
there that's a recipe for disaster.
Mm-hmm.
There can be a lack of trust from certain people. There can be abuses, per se. But, like, for sure I would disagree with the fact that it's being brought in. I hope that it doesn't ever get out of hand. Because it is, I mean, certain things are offensive to other people, you know?
Yeah.
And certain things can really, have that effect, a bad effect. So I think that it should stay as bipartisan as possible. Not take any stances on anything and protect our country, do its one job. But
The one job it's tasked to
win
do.
Win wars.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's interesting because I think a lot of people look at the military and they think there's a certain individual that pops into mind, right? And this individual doesn't necessarily have a name, but there's a certain type of person that pops into mind when we hear military. And a lot of that's been shaped by, you know, cinema, and a lot of that's been shaped by pop culture of, you know, the badasses, right? The Navy SEALs, the Marines, like different aspects of that type of person. When in reality, the military is a massive organization, right? And it has every single job that you can imagine under it. They have the desk people, the frontline guys, the special ops guys, whatever it is. And I think that, just to give my two cents on the matter, that it's a tough situation, because I think a lot of people would identify some of the stuff that is being taught in the military as partisan, right? But I think the ideas that are taken on, the ideas that are taught that are being taken on within the military, the people who hold those ideas and those beliefs don't view them as partisan, but rather as self-evident. So it is a tough line to thread, because you're exactly right. The military needs to be bipartisan. Like, we need bad men at the door to keep the other bad men out, right? That is the mission. The mission is paramount. The morale is secondary, but you can't have a mission without morale being good. So, it is an interesting topic. I've been through my share of briefings that have lasted hours and hours and hours on topics that I didn't personally necessarily believe to be of great importance, but for whatever reason, the military found them to be important enough to spend a few hours on. And that's kind of where you have to put on your bureaucratic hat a little bit.
Yeah.
And just be like, you know what? You got to kind of beat the drum a little bit here. But what do you anticipate in terms of what you've heard recently coming out of the military? Because obviously it's a tough time in the military. Not to be in the military, but necessarily to get into the military.
Yeah.
A lot of people aren't getting out, so the retention rates are super high. COVID put everything in jeopardy, so people are staying in for the job security. On top of that, there's been the news of, you know, the wokeness and all this, you know, different dialogue going back and forth. What are you anticipating going in?
To be honest, I hope that I don't run into great amounts of of what we're talking about, like that, like either an extreme amount on one side or an extreme amount on the other. I really do hope that I find a balance in the military.
Mm-hmm.
That at the end of the day, you know, put the commercials aside and put the, you know, the woke commercials and the military videos that are coming out on YouTube, where it, you know, definitely supports one side and kind of throws out the ideas of the other side. Put all that aside, you know, the people in the military.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that I just hope that you know, people are people, you know, and if we're working towards one goal, I hope that goal can still be in sight.
Good. Cause you will definitely find that in the military.
Yeah.
It is, you know, there's, you know, when, cause we went to BVM, the boarding school, and you know, when you live at the school and you literally live and breathe the school on a daily basis, you make bonds and friendships that are relatively unique, you know, and they're very real. And when you go into the military, they say, you know, the friendships that you make now are going to last you a lifetime. And when I went in, I didn't scoff at that, but I was skeptical of it. You know, I thought, well, okay, sure. I'll make a friend or two, right? But it is true. The people you go into the military with, you'll talk to them for the rest of your lives. Like, I still keep up with the guys from basic training and kind of check in on them. And we have a group chat still, and it is awesome. It is awesome.
That is really cool, yeah.
Yeah, and you will make friends. And, you know, even the people that you don't necessarily click with, you all went through the same experience. So you have that to fall back on. At the end of the day, it's like, okay, we both did the bullshit for the big man. So, no, I'm excited for you. It's going to be a fun ride. I'm excited to see how you're taking it a few months down the road.
Yeah, and, I'm excited as well.
Yeah, it'll be good. It'll be good. Don't volunteer for Chow Runner. So... That's right. What I have to say about that. Transitioning quickly here as I take a sip of my beer. What are you drinking, by the way?
I'm drinking a Torpedo Extra IPA, Sierra Nevada.
Yeah, I had one of those earlier. Not bad. Not bad at all. I've moved on to my Stella Artois for right now because I'm feeling a little loopy. Also, that thing's out, by the way.
Yeah, the views is out.
Yeah, it's dead. It's dead. Where did you put the charger?
The charger is in one of the vehicles.
Very cool. So, moving on, you have been, hanging out with me recently because you moved to San Antonio, and one of the things we've been doing a lot of is watching cinema. The viewers, the listeners know I love cinema. I'm a big fan of cinema, and you like cinema. Am I correct in that?
Very much so.
Yeah, okay. What has been your favorite cinematic experience since you've gotten down here to this neck of the woods? Granted, it's, we're coming off of COVID, so it's we've been rewatching a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm. I would have to rank it the top three.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all TV shows.
Okay.
Number one, True Detective.
Great show.
Season one was killer. Amazing.
Absolutely fantastic, right?
Matthew McConaughey and Woody Harrelson.
Yeah.
Just really, really took the show. That was amazing.
I was really excited to see what you thought about that show because I've watched it a few times now, so I knew what was going on, but it's really good. It hits all the levels of like a great thriller that you want. But it also has this extra layer of philosophy to it.
Yeah.
You know, with
the dialogue. The dialogue is
fantastic.
Yeah, it is fantastic. It really is.
Yeah. I was excited to see what you... Because a lot of people say that is possibly the most well-written piece of cinema in the last 30 years. So I was really excited to see what you said about that. Okay, so you said top three. So you got True Detective number one. So season one, True Detective number one. Okay.
This is hard because we've watched a lot of stuff. So
yeah,
my next favorite TV mm-hmm. show that we've viewed together mm-hmm. has been Rick and Morty.
Rick and Morty's great.
It's so amazing.
So okay, time out. So you consider yourself a man of culture? Would I be correct in saying that?
I think you would be very correct.
And when you watch Rick and Morty and when you adhere to it and when you say that you love it,
yeah,
you're really diving into the idea of pop culture because Rick and Morty is very much
I'm divorcing the idea of myself as a man of culture. I'm delving into just
the pop culture aspect of it.
Well, yeah, and I think Rick and Morty is it's in many ways a very base TV show.
Uh-huh.
But at the same time, they twist the dialogue, the storylines. Honestly, they hit on deeper subjects.
Yeah.
Very scientific.
But like just real
filthy. Interesting. Yeah. Very interesting. They, you know, like, if you watch it for its comedy, like it's, you know, slapstick, farcical comedy, it's funny, right?
Yeah.
But when you listen to the dialogue, you listen to the references, you listen to all these things that are being said and these ideas being put out mm-hmm. there, I think there's a lot more you can get out of it. So, like, I don't think that I did myself that much of an injustice by by watching it. Like, I don't think I delved into this whole other fill, you know, this uncultured swine. I honestly think that you can take it and get a lot out of it.
You can. Do you remember when we watched the first episode of season 5? And then we watched the breakdown of that. And they broke down all the different references. And
of course, yeah.
It's fantastic. It really is.
The next one, I think there might be a tie here because there's two that are like equal. One is, I don't know if they're both either still coming out or one is finished. Okay. The two are the new Loki series.
Okay.
Amazing. Phenomenal. Honestly, my favorite Marvel story.
Okay. Yeah.
Of all, I'm talking every movie, every TV show. It's my favorite
story. I'm thoroughly enjoying it.
Yeah. It's amazing. Like, the character is just, he's so charismatic and so watchable. Like,
Tom Hiddleston plays that character in a way that is reminiscent of, like, James Bond, Jesus Christ, and fucking
Elvis Presley.
It's like just so incredibly likable with a fantastic storyline. Great dialogue for a Marvel show.
Amazing,
yeah, fantastic dialogue. Okay, you said it was a tie though between
Tie between Loki and Modern Family.
Are you for real?
I love Modern Family.
Like, so now honestly, we're just really diving into the pop culture business.
Well, yeah.
So this is a separate
film. Okay. Modern Family, I can say without a doubt, is like, it's pointless, right?
It's a
show about nothing.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, it's life.
Yeah.
Like, it does what art is supposed to do. It imitates nature.
I'm curious, modern though, nature. Because, you know, the question was, what have you, cinematically, what has resonated with you? And if I had to bet money on it, I would have said that Fight Club would have made it into there.
I mean, I guess. And that's the thing.
Because that was the first time you'd seen
it. I would have to separate TV shows from... Because TV shows you get attached to.
Yeah.
Movies you like, TV shows...
You watch consistently.
You get attached to it in your mind. You know, it's like... Yeah. It's what, you know, it becomes a kind of part of you.
Yeah.
Like, movies you have to rewatch if you love it,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There have been some zingers that we've watched. We watched Fight Club... What other movies have we watched, Taylor?
Oh, now I'm blanking right when you ask me.
I mean, we've watched a lot. We've thrown in some Will Ferrell in there. which I wouldn't... I mean, they're good, but like...
I mean, yeah, they're good. They're not... The Irishman. I did show you The Irishman, I think in my 2019 breakdown was number two or number one. It was number two or number one. I remember the top two were Once Upon a Time in Hollywood and The Irishman. So
right.
I forget which one was ranked, but you enjoyed The Irishman.
I enjoyed The Irishman. I don't think it was like from Scorsese. Like, I don't think it was my favorite so far.
What is your favorite Scorsese flick?
I would have to say Silence.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it resonated with me as a Catholic because it's a story
and it
touches home much more.
So not The Departed.
The Departed is good, and Shutter Island are good. Like, they're amazing movies, and they would be, you know, close contenders. But the thing is like, I don't know. I like Silence.
Have you ever seen The Last Temptation of Christ?
No, I've heard it's amazing.
It's very, as Catholics, like if you are a Catholic viewing it. We'll talk about another Catholic movie here real quick, but as a Catholic viewing The Last Temptation, it's controversial to say the least.
No, yeah, I've heard.
It's very interesting.
I've heard different takes on it. So what it's about basically is, correct me if I'm wrong, you have Christ on the cross and he's tempted. And what is seen in the movie is the vision of what his life could be if he followed that temptation.
Yeah.
All right. So a lot of people are like, this is effed up because it's like Christ and it's all this crap. You know, like, this, are you serious? This is a movie. But at the same time, Christ having human nature.
Yeah. It's plausible.
We don't know the temptations that Christ was assailed with.
Yeah.
Like, they would be, like, he would, and he would know, like, if he was tempted, we can only have these, you know, ephemeral, like, very, very short-living temptations.
Yeah.
But as Christ being a perfect being, he would be able to see them to its end.
to its logical conclusion.
So if that's what it is, if that's the case, then certainly that could be plausible. And yeah. if the movie's ending, I think the ending has to be a good message. Otherwise, you know, all.
That's why you have to watch it. If you enjoyed Silence, and again, the ending of Silence is very, you know, up in the air.
Yeah, but I'd say it's hopeful. I would argue that's hopeful.
The ending of the movie, yes. The ending of the book, not so much. So right. Scorsese interpreted the book in a certain way that kind of influenced the movie in a more positive light.
But, yeah, I've never read the book.
It's good. Eno, I think his name is Eno. Something. But another movie we watched recently, and again, I thought for a second. Now, you went more the TV show route, which is fine. Mm-hmm. But I still wanted to get your thoughts on this because it's a favorite of mine for a few reasons. It's a movie about Boston. It's a movie about Catholics. And it has some great actors and actresses in it. So I always enjoy a good time in that sense. But Spotlight. So we watched Spotlight.
Yeah.
Tough movie to watch as a Catholic.
For sure.
And I just wanted to get your thoughts on that. Because there was a lot of... There was a lot of anti-Spotlight rhetoric coming from the Catholic community when it came out. It ended up winning best picture at the Oscars. There was a lot of like, what is this? When I watch it though, kind of blanking out the rhetoric, I personally view it as it's a tragedy, and it's specifically because there are two ways to view a tragedy, right? A tragedy in the sense of justice, of we need to stop this for the sake of the victim. And then a tragedy in the sense of almost virtue signaling of like, we need to stop the perpetrator, not necessarily for the victim, but because it makes us look good. And I think Spotlight was the latter, where the first one where they really were trying to shed an actual light on a story that meant a lot at the time. I just want to get your thoughts.
Well, yeah, I think that it was an amazing movie. Definitely a hard one to watch.
Yeah.
But it's also something that you have to come to grips with, you know?
Yeah, it is.
I honestly think it was an over-glorification of journalism.
Yeah.
Which many have said.
Mm-hmm.
That's not how it was.
Mm-hmm.
But the movie itself, if we're looking at the movie for its face value, I think that it told a gripping story, and I think it told a story that needed to be told, but, you know, and like it's going to be told. It's, worldwide news. It's going to be told eventually. I think the way they told it was good. I think that, like, they, you know, the whole movie was based on either ex-Catholics, so... or just people who are, you know, grew up in Boston, very Catholic city, and they're tackling, you know, the archdiocese of Boston, and a lot of these people are coming to grips with like whether or not they could ever go back to Catholicism, mm-hmm. whether or not they would ever have gone to Catholicism, how could this be happening? You know, like we trusted these people the way the priest took advantage, and it's going into all these things, and people need to realize that. You know, I think that like. The sickness of it, and I think that realizing it is part of like fixing the problem. So a movie that does that is like,
it is because, you know, there's the Scorsese had an interview this past year where he referenced the Marvel films and he said those are not cinema, those are not films, right? And you know, I don't necessarily agree with Scorsese. I love Scorsese, but I don't agree necessarily with him on that. But there is something to be said, like, you have your popcorn filler films, and then you have your real films, right? The Irishman, The Godfather, you know, real films. And Spotlight definitely falls in the group of the latter, of a real film, right?
Yeah.
And... Yeah, I do think it was a necessary story because, again, the Boston Globe was running a story in Boston, and obviously that area got hit hard by that, but I didn't know about that until I watched the movie. I didn't know about the Boston, the problem that was in Boston until I watched the movie. Then I did more research on it, figured out what was what, but...
I watched the movie late, so I already knew about this.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's a sad case that happened all across, you know, the world. It was a global thing. For sure, I think, I definitely think Boston was one of the places where it was like...
very prominent.
Extremely prominent, yeah. But it's sad, you know, it's sad. Like, but that's what, you, honestly, that's like, that's, you know, human nature, you know, you see that. And yeah, I mean, like, I don't think that it's enough to lose trust, you know.
In Catholicism?
In Catholicism.
Or, okay.
But I think it's definitely something that was, I mean, needed, like, and that's another thing, like, when you're dealing with, like, the church or something, as Catholics, you know, there's definitely that fine line between, like, throwing it out there so that the public knows and keeping it quiet, because it doesn't always need to be known, you know? For the sake of the families involved.
But, yeah.
And it needs to go through the right, like, the right means. You know, the right mediums.
And I think that was a good point of the movie, though, distinguishing between... it's not just that the church made it quiet. Keeping it quiet, I don't think was necessarily the problem. It was the fact
it was
that
the fact that they circulated the priest.
They recirculated the priest. Yeah. So they never
actually like that's the thing, like, so if you have something like that, I mean, I'm sure God can use, you know,
evil
he can use anyone to get something across, you know.
Yeah.
Like anyone. So
So real quick, changing gears here, because you know, it's been a kind of heavy pod now for a few minutes. Any girls out there, Phil? Any individuals on your radar? Are you single? Are you married? Are you dating? Give us a scoop on the love life of Phil.
Starting from the top, I'm not married.
Okay. Good. That's good to hear. As your brother, I didn't know if you were or not. So
Just the listeners out there, not married, not dating.
Okay.
Just really focusing on career right now in the Air Force. You know, that's not to say I've got my blinders up.
You're, you know, open to application.
Oh yeah, I mean, for sure. Like, yeah.
Okay.
As any normal man is.
I would like the viewers to take note that Philip just casually leaned back, put his arm up, and gave a smug little smirk when he said that.
I did do that.
Yeah.
No denying it.
Well, you know, it's been a pleasure having you on the podcast. We got to talk about a few different things. We'll end on this, that we'll be back tomorrow for part two of this conversation, and... thank you for so much for tuning into the conversationalist. Do you have anything to say to the listeners out at home?
I would just have to say, this podcast, out of the many podcasts I've been on, is one of my favorites. So guys, get the word out. Conversationalist podcast, it needs to be heard. America needs a healing, and I think this is the place to find it.
God, I hope not. Anywho, all right, this has been the Conversationalist podcast. Good night. We will see you tomorrow. Philip.
C'est la vie. Take care. God bless.
God bless.